the monks and nuns at the time being who strove after supreme highest enlightenment. Numerous and numerous as sons of Ganges applied themselves to the commandment of the Sunyata. The number 86, and the monk who then was the preacher of the law and the keeper of the law, Balaprabha expounded for fully 80 intermediate kalpas, the highest law according to the commandment of the Sunyata. In other words, Buddha's teaching is his teaching is eternal truth, beginningless and endless. And Bodhisattva, Balaprabha, expounded it for fully 80 intermediate kalpas of that. In other words, from limitlessly long time. Number 87, he had 800 pupils who all of them were by him brought to full development. They saw many qualities of Buddhas, great sages, when they worshipped. Whom they worship. He had 800 pupils. This is different from the cross path displayed. Cross path, the path accord. It doesn't accord with this path. Now it happened so. Page 22. Now it happened. Now it so happened. Ajita, that the eighth son of the Lord, Chandra Surya Pradipa, Mati and the rest were pupil to that very Bodhisattva, Balaprabha. Balaprabha. Enlightenment. They were by him made right for supreme perfect enlightenment, and in after times they saw and worshipped many hundreds, thousands, myriads of qualities of Buddhas, all of whom had attained supreme perfect enlightenment. The last of them being Dipankara, the Tathagata, the completely enlightened one. And here it said he had 800 pupils who all of them were by him brought to full development. They saw many qualities of Buddhas, great sages whom they worshipped. And next one, 88. By following the regular course they become Buddha in several spheres, and as they followed one another immediate succession, they successively foretold each other's future destiny to Buddhahood. The last of those Buddhas following one another was Dipankara. He, the supreme good of supreme God of God, honored by crowds of sages, educated thousands of quotas of living beings, Dipankara. Dipankara Buddha is supposed to be the Buddha who gave Jukki. I explained Jukki already. In Sanku, Veya Karana. To tell one's future, future attainment, you will attain enlightenment, and you will be born in such and such place, and will attain enlightenment, and your name will be such and such. This is Jukki. And Dipankara Buddha is supposed to be the Buddha who gave Shakyamuni Buddha Jukki. When Shakyamuni Buddha in his former life, he studied under this Bodhisattva. And when this Bodhisattva came to the Madhi place, Shakyamuni Buddha spread his hair over the Madhi place. Because after he spread many things, but Madhi is so wide that the rug he gathered could not cover it. So after all, Shakyamuni Buddha in his former life spread his hair over the muddy place and let this Dipankara Buddha pass the muddy place. And this is why we bow, you know. Feeling Buddha's foot on our hand, you know, three times like this. This is the Buddha. Or another story is told, something similar, quite different, but anyway, Dipankara Buddha is the Buddha who gave Jukki to Buddha. maybe the last Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha said. The another story is there were in ancient time there were a great king or maybe kings and whose minister was very wise and he was so wise that the king gave the half of his country, half of his world, you know, not country, big, whole world, half of the whole world to him. And he had a bright boy who became later a great teacher or a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. Anyway, he became a Bodhisattva maybe. I don't know what to say. Bodhisattva. And he was so good that his father, or excuse me, his father sent him to his brothers, who was a great scholar. He studied under him and became a bodhisattva. And the father was very much proud of him, and he brought him to his home and listened to his sermon. And again he brought him to the to his former king or master or king. Whom he helped, the king who he helped, and he went to they went to the borderline of the country, because in half of the country it his, was his own, the other half was the former king's country. So they went to the border of the country and gave him a great sermon. Since then, the king, for many hundreds of cotis of kalpas of time, send various offering to that teacher. And later, that teacher became Dipankara Bodhisattva, and that king who helped the Dipankara Buddha was the Buddha himself. So when Dipankara Buddha, Dipankara Bodhisattva became enlightened and true teacher of the whole world, Buddha became his disciple and studied. And he received Jukhi from Dipankara Buddha. All of those stories means the eternal, you know, teaching, which is always with every being from endless, from beginningless beginning to endless end. And that is what it means. And next one, among the people of Prabha, the son of Jina, at the time of his teaching the law, was one slothful, covetous, greedy of gain and cleverness. Greedy of gain and cleverness. And this I explained already. And this here, it says cleverness. But in cross part, it says brains. And the original word, original text, it has two, the original words, maybe, may not be the same, because according to the result of the study of many scholars, this sutra was held, had been observed, hold, had been followed, or has been held in India, had been held by some group, you know, like Zen Center, maybe. Zen Center had a special scripture, you know, and which was called Lotus. We had Lotus. And we had many branches, you know. And at the Sahara, we will make some translation. Mm. At San Francisco, or Los Altos, or Berkeley, they may make translation. But and at the Sahara, we will change our translation. So, originally, it cannot be, it was not, you know, they say, it was not. There was no the scripture they hold, they used, was not the same. That is why we have so many translations, so many original texts, and so many kinds of translations. No. The original, they had many kinds of original texts, and many various people in various countries translated it. So naturally, there must be many kinds of translation. It is quite natural.
Hey. Does the Japanese translation, say, and the Chinese translation, the one by Dogen and the one in Chinese, they're not word for word, they're just the symbolism is different. Is that so?
Word is also nearly the same, you know, not so different.
The translation here is the same as the tries to make it word for word. maybe mm-hmm. pretty difficult, but he didn't try to change the symbolism to fit British symbolism. Just a British scholar that translated it.
They, no.
Mm. I was wondering if they changed the symbolism to fit, say, Japanese symbolism.
No,
so
no, they don't.
They don't.
They try to, you know, be faithful to the original, you know, word by word, when they translated it. Even Kumarajiva's translation, you know, who is very, his translation is they say, you know, his translation is very, not literal translation, they say, but actually it is very, you know, it is, you may say this, that is very literal translation. So, if they have, you know, original text, the Chinese scholar and Tibetan scholar, Nepalese translation, and Nepal translation, are very, you know, faithful to the word by word translation. And they discuss this word. This word should be this word, translated from this word, not that word. This kind of discussion is still going on. So that we should be faithful to the original text.
And Dogen did this too?
Dogen Zenji did not translate. Commentary, yes. He expressed, you know, his way of understanding of this sutta. And almost all the time he writes something, he referred to this sutta. And some, at least two passages, Juki and Hokke Tenboke, it's his own, you know, special understanding of this sutra. And we should understand this way, he said. Almost word by word translation. But Kumarajiva's you know, contribution was that he for an instance, there's 100 gyatas, you know. But Kumarajiva sometimes put two, you know, gyata together so that they can understand it easily. As you must have seen, one long sentence, you know, divided in two, you know, because of the, because so that to put them in gyata style. But Kumarajiva, you know, put emphasis on more the meaning of the sutta. So For Chinese people, Kumarajiva's translation was easy to understand. That was big reason why this sutra was appreciated Chinese people so much. He was also excessively and desirous of glory, but very fickle, so that he saw that the lessons dictated to him and his own reading fade from his memory as soon as learned. This is already I explained. Dohen Zenji was very faithful to this sutra, you know. And he was very much impressed with those gathers. He is very strict with the to have worldly desires as a Buddhist. And as a Buddhist, we should not have even the desire to expect enlightenment. That was, you know, a strict observation of this sutra, you may say. Of course, that was his character, you know. His character was so pure and lofty, and he didn't mind anything but truth. He would give all his, you know, body and mind to the truth. That was his idea, his way. At 92, his name was Yasas Kama, by which he was known everywhere. Yasas Kama means desires of glory. By the accumulated merit of that good action, spotted as it was, but he helped, you know, people very much. So, with this merit, he attained enlightenment. And 93, he propitiated thousands of coteys of Buddhas, whom he rendered ample honor. He went through the regular course of duties and saw the present Buddha Shakyamuni. He shall be the last to reach. He shall be the last to reach supreme enlightenment and become a road known by the family name of Maitreya. who shall educate thousands of cottages of creatures? Maitreya was actually, you know, historical disciple, actually historical character, a disciple of Buddha. Many stories are told about him. You know, his Buddha's aunt who raised Buddha when he was young gave golden embroidering, kesa of gold embroidery to Buddha.
But when she writes some sentence on the board and make me make a corrective, I could correct it. She was amazed. Did you do it? Sometimes he spirit of God, which is missing, you know. Here and there, that missing in words. And let us hear words. And that kind of thing, I could do it. But when I speak, my mistake, you know, like a machine gun. What was I talking about?
War.
Yeah.
No one could wear it.
War? gold embroidery, kepa. But one disciple wear that was, you know, a future Maitreya, who was supposed to be last Buddha, you know, who was supposed to attain enlightenment after all of the disciples attained enlightenment. No, he wrote, you know, something like this Bodhisattva in his former life. He was called desires of glory, you know. Something like as Buddha was very very glad with him that he wear. But, you know, maybe because of that, he received that kind of duty. To be a last Buddha. This is interesting, you know. Buddha was glad that he was not so good, you know. If I were a Shakyamuni Buddha, I shall be very angry, maybe. I shall not be happy to see one of his disciples is not so good, treading wrong path. But Buddha was very patient, and he was very glad. He thought, eventually, he will attain enlightenment. I think this is why, you know, Dogen Zenji always says, all of us, eventually, will attain enlightenment. There is no need to, you know, to expect attainment. Sooner or later, everyone will attain enlightenment because we have Buddha nature. As a Buddhist, we must have this kind of big mind and big scale of practice, not matter of today or tomorrow or this year or next year.
Lord, he shall be the last to reach superior enlightenment and become a Lord, known by the family name by Maitreya, who shall educate thousands of cottages of creatures. 95. He who then, under the rule of extinct Sunyata, was so thyself, and it was I who then was the preacher of the Lord. Manjushri was the preacher, and thrustful one was Maitreya. As on seeing a foretoken of this kind, I recognize a sign such as I have seen manifested of your, therefore, and on that account I know. As on seeing for a token of this kind, I recognize a sign such as I have seen, and at that place, in some translation, it says, at that place, manifested of your, therefore, and on that account I know. 97, that decidedly the chief of Jina, the supreme king of the kings, kings of the Shakyas, the all-seeing, who knows the highest truth, is about to pronounce the excellent sutra which I have heard before. The same sutra he will proclaim. And the highest truth is this Daiichi. It's translated Daiichi in Chinese scripture. The highest truth is about to pronounce the excellent sutra which I have heard before. And this is, question the emperor who asked Bodhidharma, what is the first principle? The first principle. The Bodhidharma said, I don't know. I don't know its first principle. Do you understand? The first principle is cannot be known in terms of good or bad, right or wrong, because it is both right and wrong. That very sign displayed at present is the proof of skillfulness of the leaders, the lion of the Shakyas, is to make an exhortations to declare the fixed nature of the law, the fixed nature of the law, true nature of the law. Or ultimate nature of the law. Be well prepared and well minded. Join your hands. Put your hands together. Join your hands. He who is affectionate and merciful to the world is going to speak. Is going to pour the endless rain of the law and refresh those that are waiting for enlightenment. And if some should feel doubt, uncertainty, or misgiving in any respect, then the wise one shall remove it for his children. The bodhisattvas here striving after enlightenment. This is the last part. I think you must have understand nature of our teaching. This is the oriental tree. You don't know which way its root is going. It's rather difficult for you to figure out which way the root is going. And if you know which way the root of Buddhism is going, it may be easier to understand. And how the trunk of the tree of Buddhism is supported by the root. There's characteristic. in the way of making our effort. To which direction we make our effort is very interesting to know, for you maybe. And human effort, if our human effort is directed all the same direction by all the human beings, that is a dreadful destiny. The everyone should strive for in his own way, and everyone should find out his own way to develop himself. Even though each one of us making different effort, as long as we have Buddha nature, as long as all the effort is supported by Buddha nature, there is no problem. When we don't know that our everyone's effort is supported by the same ground and attached to one's own way, rejecting the others, rejecting or ignoring the other's way, and insisting upon his own way, then that is confusion. So, we Buddhists, you know, put emphasis on each one's own way, especially this sutra put emphasis on each one's own way and meaning of each one's own being. And at the same time, as you must have understood already, this sutra provides us a big common ground for every one of us, where we can enjoy our each our own way, each one's own way. And this is possible if you understand this truth. But usually people think that is not possible. If we become friendly with each other, we will be lost. The only way to make hard competition, even if it's necessary, we should fight, or we should reject others' opinion, and we should stick to our own way. That is what we are doing actually. Before you actually practice our way, you have this fear. But if you practice our way, there is no such problem at all, as you must have seen. Even the faintest idea of this truth you have, then it will be a great help for you, I think. Because you have no this kind of idea, because you have never make this kind of effort. We are so unhappy. For Bodhisattva, to be unhappy is also good. For a usual person, to be unhappy is a terrible thing. If you like, I think the most difficult part of the sutra already finished. And next chapter will be the very interesting chapter, maybe. And so if you read it, you will be very much interested in it. If you read it with this kind of understanding, it may be very interesting. Good devices, you know, chapter of skillfulness, skillful devices. In this sutra, devices is more important than the first principle. Usually, you know, people respect the first principle. Rather than skillfulness, skillful devices, but in this sutra, Buddha rather put emphasis on skillful devices. It means that Buddha put emphasis on mercy, how to help people with skillful devices is the most important point. And to find out each one's own position and each one's own responsibility and each one's meaning of life, and to find the joy of life in the activity near at hand or trivial attainment is the most important point. Thank you very much for your listening to my tedious lecture. If you have question, please ask me. Hi.
You were talking about Dogen Zenji emphasizing or saying that eventually each person will attain enlightenment. And the word attain we hear often, except that in chanting the Shingyo we say no attainment because of no attainment. And I find that it's impossible for me, or I find myself clinging constantly to the idea of attaining something, imagining that if something's going to happen and not happen. It seems that what the Shingyo is saying, no attainment, and what Dogen is saying, don't worry because you will all attain enlightenment. Are very different understandings.
Yeah, very different. But when we say attainment, you know, the meaning actually is very different from the usual connotation of attainment. Attainment, our attainment
By attainment, we mean result. That is result. If you say, this is cause, that is cause. You know? So if you, even though I say attainment, that may be the practice. No? We understand in that way. So we say, tongueless tongue, you know? Wordless word, word beyond word. But somehow we must say something. So sometime attainment, sometime practice. That is our way. So in that way you should listen to or read our scriptures. If when we describe something, you know, we should follow the logical, you know, logical sequence. That is one way of one side of the truth. So when Dogen Zenji says, when one side is described, the other side is dark. We cannot describe both ways. So that is why we describe just one side of the truth. But if you have ear to listen to, eyes to read it, you should be satisfied with one description, because you you know there is the other side.
The Shingyo on other points, though, like ignorance, shows us both sides.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying no ignorance and also no annihilation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that sense, there seems to be a completeness
yeah.
in the words. And in the same way, it would seem to me no attainment and yet constant effort toward
yes,
attainment. Something like that. I mean, it seems to come out really strongly on only one side,
mm-hmm.
no attainment.
So in our practice, you know, actually,